I am a recording artist, a radio personality, an actress, a TEDx speaker, and most recently, a certified master life coach. And I am just like you, on this wild ride, a page-turning book filled with victorious chapters and chapters of sheer defeat. Well, I'm here in the arena now, here to help you create a beautiful life. This is your favorite chica, Judy Torres, and welcome to Beautiful Life with Judy Torres, the podcast. We took a little hiatus because I was very busy and so was my producer, Vinny Meduño. And so we are back, continuing season four. And we are back with a great episode with Priscilla Manila, formerly of Bad Girls Club, season seven, New Orleans. If you remember, she had that huge episode where she had this big blowout with Judy, not me, the other Judy. And we're going to talk to her today about what your life is like after reality television.
I want to just like touch on that for a minute because, like, you know, I got to work behind the scenes in reality television, and I look at it always as a blessing because I really thought that I wanted to go that route with TV and media being a major in school. Mm-hmm. And then I got to do, as you know, road management, social media management, and kind of behind the scenes production work with the show Mob Wives, mm-hmm. working very exclusively with Big Ange. And I almost felt like God safeguarded me and said, all right, I'm going to put you in TV, but not the way you want to be put in TV. And he let me kind of like see the behind the scenes of it. Mm-hmm. And all of the girls, they put up with a lot in that production. And you know the type of show that was. It was rough, rough to be around. A lot of the things that were said, stuff that happened at filming carried over into the next day. Personal feelings were revealed. Who went into substance problems, you know, who had other situations and things. Reality TV is not for the weak of heart. That's all I'm going to say. Any kind of TV is not for the weak of heart. But these ladies, they and these girls, cameras following them all day, every day, documenting their every move.
Everything and you do, you
Judy,
have no breath.
Producers in their ears saying things, buzzwords, ways to set them off. They're not looking for it to be a hunky-dory Brady Bunch type show. They absolutely want to set you off, trigger you, and make you be the not best version of yourself because that's what sells, unfortunately.
Right. So is reality TV really reality? And that's why we're really excited to be speaking with Priscilla Manila today. I just want to start this off by saying I am so sorry that you had a negative experience with someone named Judy. I want to let you know that I will never, ever throw anything at you, especially your own cereal.
I appreciate the respect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I mean, she should have thrown something much better at you, you know?
Yeah, right? A fist at least.
So Priscilla, I know that it's been years since you've done the Bad Girls show. Let's go back into time and let's talk about the first time you decided, hey, look, you know what? I think I want to try and be on the show.
Okay, so when I wanted to be on the show, I was a big fan of the show. I watched the previous seasons. I thought it was going to be a fun idea. You're in a mansion. You get to hang out and party. You get to, you know, go away on vacation with some strangers. I had all total, like, positive intent when doing the show. And I'm just like, okay, let me try it out. My friend was like, I think you'd make it, so why don't you try out? I was like, okay, let me see. So I sent them an email, and they told me to come down to the city to do a casting. And I'm a really, like, friendly person. I like to talk to people, so I guess I blew them away when they selected me to be on the show. And I was like, this is, like, what I wanted to do. I wanted to bring the club, the Bad Girls, together, and us versus the outside crew. Like, that's what a club is. You have club members and club people stick together. Shouldn't be fighting within the club. So that was my intent with doing the show.
Well, you had seen previous seasons before, correct?
Yes.
So when you saw previous seasons, what did you think then? Like, what did you think when they cast you? You didn't think that for any moment there would be any type of drama?
I thought I was cool enough to be friends with everybody, you know, but That's why they have the casting. They pick certain characteristics and certain people that they're going to mesh and blend not well at all. Yeah, I thought I was just going to be that cool girl. I was going to be friends with everybody, but it didn't go down like that. You know, you have other characters in there that are in there with different intents. They're in there to be a star, to become, you know, the most popular girl on the show, instead of just trying to be part of the show with the other girls.
When they cast you, since this is called Bad Girls Club, did you think that there may be some aspect of your personality that they thought was, quote unquote, bad?
I guess my voice and being loud, I could see why people might get annoyed with that. yeah, I'm really loud, but I'm Puerto Rican and Italian from New York. I mean, we're not quiet people.
Oh, girl, the combination is real. What? Oh, my gosh.
From Staten Island, no less, too. So, I mean, it is what it is, but, I mean, we could have spoken about it if anyone did have a problem with that. So, yeah.
So I know that in a lot of people, when they want to be on reality shows, they have all different intentions. Like you said, some people, they want to get famous. They think that they're going to be able to use the show as a launching board for something bigger and better. They think it's going to get them a job on television somewhere else or their own spinoff show, et cetera, right? So you have all these different ideas and dreams of what the show is going to be like, especially because you've watched it. I would love for you to explain to the listeners how reality TV shows one thing, and then in reality, you experience something completely different. And I'm not trying to badmouth any producers from any shows or any networks, but the truth is reality TV has its own rules and its own agenda and its own politics, right? So give people a little bit of inside scoop of what you thought it would be and then what it really was.
When you get casted on the show, you basically have no power. You can tell them how you feel and all that, but they're chewing that stuff up and creating their own plots behind the screen where they're not going to show you that. So what I like to say, it's not reality TV. In real life, it's called actuality, what actually happened. And then there's reality, what they script to make happen. They have to make it look, you know, they need a storyline. And sometimes the storyline is always, you know, there's missing parts and missing patches. There was a lot of actually positive things that we did together that they didn't show. But my whole thing is that I went in there thinking, oh, maybe this would be, like you said, a nice launching pad to do something else, which it did. I did get a couple of gigs. I did a wonderful photo shoot for Vibe magazine. I was also on one of their other shows. It was a hairstyling show. So that was really nice to be on that. But to be part of the Bad Girls Club legacy, and they requested me to come out and do the Bad Girls Love Show, Love Games, that's what it was. And they wanted me to do Bad Girls All Stars. And I was like, you know what? I am so happy being a regular person because I got so much hate from the show that I was like, you know what? Pick this other girl because it's not all what you think at all.
So tell me what it was like, what your life was like when you were on the show and what it's like now.
Oh my God. Night and day. So when we first filmed and when they first aired, it was really interesting too, because you don't really know that how what's going to happen. So a lot of people, that strangers, everything, they would come up to me. They're like, oh, you beat that girl's ass. Oh, you're that girl. Oh, we don't like you. And I'm just like, who are you? Like, I'm going through the mall. And actually, when I speak, people just are like, oh, you're that girl. You're that girl. And I'm like, oh, my God, no, I don't want to talk right now. I just need to go grab something and go. It was just a little overwhelming. But I, you know, I guess it comes with the territory that I've been very quiet for very long because I enjoy being a private person in some sense. I like to expose my positive influences that I do have on people. I feel like I'm very motivating and stuff like that. So I feel I can't be that known as that girl from that show that beat up the girl or whatever. You know what I mean? So you got to be careful what you wish for, because when you get it, it's always not going to be, you know, what you dream of. It's not.
I know that your nickname was a Staten Island Spitfire, right?
Oh, yeah. You know that.
In a way, you still may be that way, just not in the way the show portrayed you, right?
I think so.
Okay. So when people did come up to you and confront you and say, oh, you're that girl that beat that girl, right? How did it feel to hear that, especially if you don't feel that that's who you were?
At the end of the day, I was sticking up for myself. And I think that anybody who's sleeping after drinking so much and having something thrown on you is going to wake up in a rage. I don't care what anyone says. No one's going to wake up, oh, what happened? No, that's not what's going to go down, especially with me.
So for people who didn't see the show, for people who didn't see that episode, take them back for a minute. I know you guys had been drinking. You were sleeping. Is that correct?
Oh, my God. I was drinking way too much. I was passed out. You know, and I've also learned from watching the show, too, like, drinking too much is not good for you because you don't know what the hell's going on around you, you know, which I've slowed down so much. I mean, I'm 38.
So. You can't drink the way you did then. The way, if you did that now, forget it.
Oh, no way. No way. I'm out for 3 days now. But, yeah, it was just, it's just like, oh, I don't want to be that girl. I want to be looked at as the girl that will stick up for herself if someone's coming after you. You know, if someone's trying to mess with you, stand up for yourself. Don't let nobody slide, you know, any funny shit on them. Ooh, I'm sorry, the curse.
That's okay, Miss Spitfire. You got it.
Yeah.
So you had been sleeping and this girl named Judy, not me, threw cereal at you. And to make it even
worse, could you imagine that?
Even more rude, it was your cereal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible.
Right? With the milk in it, she threw it at you.
Yes.
When it happened, you stayed sleeping because that's how blacked out you were. So then you woke up and you were like, oh, no.
What a lot of people don't know, when we filmed the show, that the town was trying to ban us from filming. We were on like an expensive golf course. And I remember being in a hotel. So they have to keep you, you know, keep everybody in hotels until they're ready to shoot. So I'm in the hotel for 3 days. I'm by myself. I'm in New Orleans. I know nothing about New Orleans. And I'm sitting there. I'm waiting. So I put on the news. And the news said, you know, the town of Kenner is trying to ban filming of this show called Bad Girls Club. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I'm like, I guess I'm not going to film. And so with that said, production found a loophole and said, okay, the town came up with a rule that said no four unrelated guests can live in a house together. That was like a rule that they had years ago. And so they incorporated that in the filming. And every night they had to pull about three girls out and put us up in a hotel. So they never showed that. That was never aired, you know. So, again, that's part of their storylines. They had to put all this filming into a story. Anywho, so, again, like what I said, they wanted us to keep drinking. In New Orleans, what they have is drive-through liquor stores. So we would go there, and they had huge drinks like this, about 16, 20 ounces, maybe 20 ounces is a bigger one, of alcohol, hurricanes. But that was all that we could do in there is drink, because we were disconnected from anything else. So me, Tasha, and I believe it was Shelly went out. We were drinking and back to the house, and they would wake us up in our sleep. Like, okay, you got to go. Let's go. And again, that's messed up too.
They'd wake you up from your sleep to film?
A dead sleep to take you out of the house after certain hours to put you in the hotel because they don't want to get fined or thrown out from filming. So if you watch the episode, the girl Shelly, she wasn't even there. She was in a hotel and they made it seem like she was sleeping. How's she going to be sleeping when I'm losing my mind in there screaming, throwing stuff around? There was no way, you know? So it's very, there's a lot of loopholes and holes in the whole entire thing that happened. So my point, being was that they took me from the hotel the night before this happened. We went out drinking the day of. So production put us in the car and they said to me, please be nice to Judy. I said, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend I'm somebody that I'm not. I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. They're like, we really think you should be. So I'm like, I gave her my chance. When we first went into the house, it was very nice to her. She told me some personal stuff, and I tried to sympathize with her. But then she started acting up. So I didn't know if she was like a plant, like she was a paid actress to be part of the show. It was very confusing. But there were things that I didn't like, and she didn't listen to any encouraging things that I said to her. So I was like, F this girl. Like, I'm not going to deal with her. Anywho, production told me to be nice to her the night before. The day of, we went drinking in the drive-thru, and, you know, we passed out. And so now I'm sleeping, and I'm like, you know, dreaming, and I wake up, and I'm looking around. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, and Tasha's sleeping next to me, and I'm like, Tasha, I threw up on myself. It didn't smell like vomit. I was like, what the fuck is this? When she knocked on the window, I was like, oh no, it's a wrap. I came flying out, snapping out. I didn't know who it was. She was like, hiding away. Oh my God, that fight lasted so long. I wish they would air the whole thing. It was hysterical. But now I look back and I'm like, wow, the reality they made and the actuality what went down, you know, it's crazy.
So when you see what actually happened that day, if you could go back, would you do something differently?
Nope. I would do the same exact thing. And I would still do something crazy like that if somebody woke me up that like that in my sleep. How dare you?
I'm going to say something that may make you go, maybe might make you defensive. I'm not sure, but I thought about this. I heard Dr. Phil say this once. So I wish I could take credit for this question, but I'm not. He would say something like, there's something about that woman I can't stand about myself. So was there something, when you look at Judy and her personality, is it possible that there was something about her that reminded you about a part of yourself that you didn't really like, and so immediately you just didn't mesh with it? And I'm just asking out of curiosity. I'm not saying that it's true. I'm just wondering.
No. I would say that, you know, I gave her a chance to be friendly. Again, I thought maybe this girl really has mental issues. There was something not right about her. But me as a person, I gave her a chance to, you know, be cool with me. And because she was so wrapped up in trying to be some superstar that, you know, she felt like she had to come attack me because I'm going to react. I'm not going to sit back and be quiet. That's not my style. I felt like, you know, she disrespected me and, you know, I'm going to take it to the next level. You're going to see. You want to mess with me, I'm going to show you what I'm working with, you know?
What would your 38-year-old self tell your 25-year-old self today? If you could talk to her, what would you say to her?
I would tell her, just keep going. Go with your heart and believe in yourself. And if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. And, you know, I had my fun. I had a whole lot of fun. I got a lot of opportunities. I got a lot of notches on my belt. I did great things. And I'm proud of that. But I'm also happy of the woman that I became because I learned from it. I bought my own house. You know, I have a great career. I have wonderful family, good friends. And I think that's the most important thing right now. And, you know, when you are in that 25-year-old, you know, going wild, acting silly, sometimes you don't get those precious gifts, you know, of having a good family, getting a home. You know, it's hard right now.
I think when you're in your 20s too, you're just trying to discover who you are.
Exactly.
The 20s are usually about experimenting and pushing the bar and just trying to see, you know, what can you do? And it's very social. You know, you're comparing yourself to other people all the time. You know, you're trying to stay in the clique with somebody, you know, you're trying to have your friends, you know. It's a fun time, but it's also a time when you look back, you go, oh my God, thank God I'm not in my 20s anymore. You know, like, you're like, no.
Exactly. And it's important to like build a foundation, you know, those are crucial years, still party years, but I feel like you could get caught up real quick if you don't take care of yourself and you continue down that path of party, party, party. I mean, who's going to respect you? What are you going to have when you're older? You know, you got to prepare for these things. And that's why I also took a step back from social media, doing shows, like auditioning and stuff like that. I just feel like I like being my person. Let me do what I got to do to take care of myself. Because you're on a show and that's it. Now, who's going to hire you? How are you going to make money? You know, they'll chew you up and spit you out.
Let's talk about mentally what this does to you, you know, because I'm sure the producers, they have their own intention. And their intention is we have to get ratings. So they're going to do whatever they have to do to make that happen. But one of the things that I don't think some of the producers think about is the mental toll that it will take on you. So you can you tell me, share with us some of the things that you went through mentally while you, not when you were filming the show, but when it aired, right? Because then when it airs, then all of a sudden everybody gets to see everything. And you also get to see what they edited. And I'm sure that brings up a certain amount of anger and frustration. Like, no, you're portraying just a part of who I am, but not the whole thing. Because there were tons of times I was talking to the girls and we were laughing and we were sharing stories and I was giving them advice and we were having good moments, but they don't air those, you know? So when it first aired, and of course people were coming up to you and say, oh, you're that girl that beat up that girl. You know, what did that do to you mentally? And did it affect your family? Did it affect how they felt about you? You know, things like that.
Right before you get, go into the house, they have a mental evaluation on you. You go and you speak to a psychiatrist and they give you testing and stuff like this. And it was an older gentleman in LA. He was very nice. And we did some tests. He's like, wow, you did this test pretty good. He's like, are you sure you want to do this? So when he said that to me, and I'm like, yeah, I want to do this. Like, he's like, oh, okay. So I was like, okay. So
did you take that as a red flag?
I did take it as a red flag. I thought maybe he thought I was maybe too smart for this, or maybe, you know, this is not really something I should be doing in my life. But I rolled with it because, again, I wanted to have fun. I wanted to enjoy myself. So now, right before you go to the reunion, you see the psychiatrist again. I guess it's just to evaluate if you can, you know, if they're not going to get a lawsuit because you're mentally messed up. So I don't know. I went to see him again with Tasha, and he was just like, so what do you guys think? Like, we were like, was that girl, you know, how she passed this evaluation? Because there's not, something not right with her. He's like, you know, production wants who they want, and that's that. And we were like, oh, okay. So we do the show, the reunion, and we come out, and I'm like, all right, back to normality, back to life. And I'm like, wow, it wouldn't feel good for anybody to have strangers attacking you when they don't know the whole story. They didn't see, you only see what they characterize you as. You know, they make you out to be this person, and you know in your heart and your friends and family know that you're not like that. So it hurts a little bit to, you know, people think, but at the end of the day, like, you are who you are, and it doesn't matter. When you sleep, you know, by yourself, you put your head down on your pillow by yourself, and you know the person that you are deep inside. I mean, it felt a little weird that, like, why are you hating on me so bad? I'm telling you, to this day, 13 years later, they're still playing this on Hulu, and I still get random messages and DMs of people saying horrible things to me. It's disgusting, but I know, you know, that's their issue, and if they're thinking about me, something must be good with me because I'm on their mind. They're finding me on the internet to talk.
Well, it's possible that them watching you is triggering something for them. Being on social media myself, I get instances on social media where people just attack me out of nowhere or say something really negative. And sometimes it's about, like, what I'm wearing or things like that. And the truth is I don't mind critique. As long as it's meant to be critique. To me, critique means I'm going to give you some feedback that I'm observing. I'm not judging you, but I'm observing it. And I would like you to be a better person. I want the best for you. So here's my critique. But it's not critique. It's just like this smash judgment.
Yeah.
You know.
It's cruel.
You know, it's cruel. Yeah, it's cruel. So with that in mind, you know, I try to tell myself sometimes it's not about me at all. It's about them. It's about something that's not resolved with them. Because I think that when they really want the good, the best for you, even if they critique you, you know, for example, like one time a fan, it was a gentleman, he privately DM'd me, which I respect even more. He privately DM'd me. He was like, hey, listen, I noticed that whenever you get on stage, you're always talking about your weight. You know, I don't care about your weight. Just sing. I just want you to sing. And he said, and if it bothers you so much, then do something about it. But the truth is, it doesn't bother me at all. And at first, I was really offended. First, I was hurt because I already have a sensitivity about that. But then I thought about, you know what? This guy was genuinely saying, hey, if you don't like something about yourself, do something about it. Otherwise, just don't even talk about it. Don't even bring it up. And I think he was right, you know, and of course, I still bring it up on stage, but not in a more fun way.
And he did it more in a respectful way.
Very respectful way, because he could have said that in public in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm. There's a way to go about things. If you don't like something about someone and you feel like in your heart, you need to let this person know, DM in a private message. I'm not saying go off and curse people and wish death upon people, because that's what people do to me. Say it gently. Say, listen, I didn't like that you did this, that, and the third. And that's it. Say whatever you're going to say. But don't be disrespectful. Don't curse. Don't wish evil upon anybody. You know, everyone's entitled to their opinion as well, especially in social media.
And also, you can't explain yourself to every single person who attacks you. And you don't have to. But this is what I can say for you. If people are still messaging you, then you're provoking a reaction. And that's what the show wanted, right? So this is what I want for you. I want the best for you.
Thank you.
And so because I want the best for you. Thank you. Because I want the best for you. I wanted to talk about Priscilla today. Because we've all had a moment in life where we weren't doing the ideal thing. You know, I had a time in my life where I really disrespected a woman. I didn't do it intentionally, but indirectly, I disrespected her, you know? And I remember just feeling so horrible about it. I couldn't forgive myself about it. I remember thinking, wow, you know? And then finally, I had to say, you know what? That wasn't my most brightest shining moment. And so what I can decide to do is learn from it and move forward and tell myself that will never happen again. So what do you tell yourself about that moment? And how have you moved on to today's Priscilla?
Well, you gotta let things go. You can't dwell in it. I mean, dwelling on stuff is not good or healthy mentally at all, you know? And I don't know. You just gotta let things be, get over it, keep going. Life goes on. You have to keep moving. You know, the world doesn't stop for nobody. And it's really important, especially to take care of yourself during these times too, because I don't know why no one in social media, or maybe I'm missing it when I'm scrolling through things. We just suffered. Everybody just suffered real heavy mental issues with COVID. I mean, we were locked up for months and months, and it's really sad that, you know, no one's bringing this to light. They're just going about their business. It's like, people are messed up from this stuff, you know, mentally, you know, but like I said, you gotta keep it moving. You gotta keep it pushing. And you gotta keep growing. You gotta just think about your friends and family, the people that you love, and just become a better person each and every day that passes for you, you know, cause life is a gift and a blessing, and you never know when it's going to be the end. So you gotta keep bettering yourself, and you gotta keep, you know, taking care of yourself and your loved ones as well.
How do you feel how you handled everything mentally? Did you need to, for example, like some people go to therapy after being on a reality show because it's just too much. They're very intense during the filming, and then all of a sudden they're not filming anymore. So you go from being surrounded by cameras 24/7 to nothing at all. And for some people that's hard. You know, it's kind of like when I did Madison Square Garden. And I was like, oh my God, this is Madison Square Garden. Oh my God, 17,000 people. And I get on stage and there's a big standing ovation. And then the next day I'm performing this little tiny little club and I fell on stage. I was like, damn, you know, like talk about like, it was completely different. I was like, yesterday I was on stage at Madison Square Garden and I'm in this little itty bitty place. What am I doing here? And I fell on stage and ironically, there was nobody in the audience. I swear to God, nobody in the audience knew who I was. Nobody knew my songs, nothing. It was extremely humbling. And when I fell on stage, that's when the show got better, because then they were like, oh, she's there. Oh, you know, it was a hard moment for me, you know, but, do you think that after the show was over, did you feel like you needed to do something to recuperate from all that? because it's a lot of drama to go through, and then to have it publicly portrayed, and then people having, you know, coming up to you. What I'm saying is,
don't forget it airs way after it shows.
Yeah, that's my point. You know, so here you are. You know, you're kind of like you've returned to reality, to your real life, and then all of a sudden the show comes on, and all the people are attacking you and things like that. It must be difficult, you know. So what was that change like? What was that adjustment like?
When you leave the show, they hand back your cell phone and all this stuff. I totally forgot, because I was filming for 2 months. I totally forgot how to use it was a BlackBerry. That's how long ago it was. I was using my BlackBerry. I was like, how do I even turn this on? I was like, oh my goodness, I got a text. So like, you know, you got to readjust yourself to normality. And so you have that little bit of space from when you end filming and when it actually airs. And I was just like a little nervous because, again, you don't know how they're going to portray you. And everyone thinks they're going to portray you like this cool thing and the fight and how they're going to film that, how they're going to air that. So that little gap, I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, I had so many emotions. I was excited some days, and some days I was nervous. And then I was just like, okay, it is what it is. Let's roll with it. And then it aired. And then I was like, okay, I had so many people reaching out that loved me. They thought I was so cool. They thought I was funny, which I appreciated. But then the hate came with it. And I was just like, ugh, what's wrong with people? What's wrong that you got to find me and curse me out, wish death upon me, my family? Like, sick stuff. So I was just like, ooh, I want to be a little bit of a hermit and go back to not being known or part of this show. Let me just hide out. Let me just focus on what I got to do to grow and be a better person.
If you were approached to do another reality show, would you do it again? And if so, on what terms? How would you do it differently?
I would consider doing something, but it has to be in a positive light. You know, I'm too grown now. I have too many responsibilities. I have too much to lose to be fighting people and, you know, acting a fool, getting
That's
drunk.
A very good thing what you just said. I have too much to lose to be fighting with people. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And I would do something fun, maybe a competitive show, more of hosting maybe a show. Like, so I've been filming a little bit around my town because I moved to New Jersey during COVID, which that's another story in itself. And there's a lot of great things out here. I'm always comparing stuff from Staten Island to New Jersey. You know, there's no place like home, but there are a lot of businesses coming from the island to New Jersey. And, you know, I've been filming here and there, little stuff on TikTok. I've been posting, you know, just my reviews and my experiences. And I love going to the spa. Like I'm getting older now. It's very important to take care of your skin now. So I've been trying out the little spas around town. And yeah, I'm just trying to be a better woman and, you know, take care of myself.
I do life coaching on the side.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So one of the things that I tell my potential clients, I ask my potential client, every single client, I ask them this question. I'm going to ask this to you. If time is not an obstacle, people are not an obstacle, and money is not an obstacle, and you could have any career you want in your life, or you could do anything you want, ideally, what would make you happiest? What would you want to do? You have no obstacles, nothing. Nothing's holding you back at all.
Oh my God, I would love to travel the world and meet people and just encourage people to be the best that they could be, fight for what they believe in, positive stuff only, and travel and just see beautiful places and learn different cultures and experiences and just be, you know, the best woman I could be and have a family that's, you know, perfect, you know, all good things. I would love to just see the world, I guess you could say. Yeah.
And it's a big place. It's a big place. It's a beautiful. I went to Paris last year just for a couple of days. I was there for 3 nights. It's amazing. When you go, you hear things about it, but it's different than when you're there in person. But experiencing people in a different culture with a different language is extremely humbling. And it's a beautiful experience. So if that's what you want to do, girl, go do it.
How is the food in Paris?
Excellent. There were cafes everywhere in Paris, everywhere. But the thing that I thought was interesting is that the chairs face outward. The chairs don't face, you don't face each other at, you know, at the cafe. They face outward. So it encourages people watching, which I thought was interesting. You know, the fashion was no joke. Beautiful. Clean. All the buses are electric. The cars are electric. It was very clean. When I watched the scene, the famous fight scene, I want to leave with something positive here. You said something that stuck with me and actually wrote it down in my notes. You said some things before that, but you said, I'm awake now.
I knew that was coming.
I'm awake now. I want to let you know that I think if you decide to, or not if, you're on social media, right?
Yes, yes.
Where can people follow you?
On my Instagram, my username is Priscilla_NY. And then I have another one for New Jersey, Priscilla_NJ. And that's the same one for my Twitter, Priscilla_NJ.
You can follow her there, but I think that every post you do, you should hashtag I'm awake now.
Oh, for sure.
There's something very beautiful about that phrase. You know, I know it was because you woke up. You're like, I'm awake now. But I think there's a lot of significant meaning in that. I'm awake now. You know, like before I was sleeping, I had no idea what was going on. And now I'm awake. You know, now in your 30s, you're awake. You realize you had this.
More awake than ever before.
Right? And you'll see in your 40s and be like, oh my God, now I'm really awake. And from your 50s, forget about it.
In the 50s, but I can't sleep.
In the 50s, you're like, yeah, I can't even sleep. It's, but I just think something tells me to tell you to use hashtag I'm awake now.
Okay.
Because when you know better, you do better. When you know something that you didn't know before, you can look at things differently. And when you have a new knowledge, judgment goes away. And that's the problem with, and we can't help it as viewers. I watch reality TV sometimes, you know, and when I watch it, you know, I love watching Real Housewives. Why? Because I feel like some things they go through resonate for me, you know, and I like to see how people respond to certain issues. But I always remind myself that it's reality TV. And I know that they're trying to push certain things and certain limits. Right. So I'm awake now is your way of saying, hey, don't just judge me on this reality show. I'm much more than that. And I've grown since.
And what's a beautiful thing too is that every day, it's a relatable saying as well. I'm awake now is like, okay, everyone wakes up if you're blessed enough to wake up, you know, and it's the intention behind it too. You're here and you're awake now. What are you going to do with it? You know what I mean? How's your day going to be?
I'm telling you, I'm awake now. It's going to trend, girl. It's going to trend. It's going to go viral.
Let's go.
Priscilla, thank you so much. I really do wish you the best. Tell us, but oh, by the way, hold on. Wait. People don't know this. Not everybody knows this, but you have a degree.
Oh, yeah.
You have a college degree. You was educated. I was educated. Please let us know what your degree is in.
Oh, I have a bachelor's in communications and media studies. I have a minor in journalism. So I went to school because I wanted to be behind the camera and host things and, you know, build that knowledge. I ended up somehow in front of the camera. So, like I was telling Vinny, I'm trying to work with my 3-point line.
there's no better education than doing something in real life. So you tried a different point of view with it. You tried a different aspect of media.
And, but I still had knowledge about what was going on, you know, with the camera work, cameramen and stuff.
I'm going to say that I know, Priscilla, you're meant to do great
things. Thank you. I appreciate that so much.
And I can't wait to see what you do next. Yep. No judgment. No judgment at all. I think that you've learned from it. You were younger then. You were doing different things then. You were under the influence of alcohol, et cetera, et cetera. Not making excuses for you because you did say, if I had to do it all over again, I would. But who you are now is not who you were then. And I think that's the most important thing that people need to walk away with is that we all grow.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, chica. And I'm here for you if you ever need anything, okay? You need backup. You let me know. I got you.
Awesome.
Judy, that was a great conversation. It's funny because Priscilla and I went to college together, both pursuing degrees in media. I went more the route of doing the front side stuff. She really did want to do the behind the scenes thing. And I remember she was really excited when the TV show came out, but afterwards she was a little disappointed in the portrayal.
Yeah, I can imagine that that would be rough. You know, you get excited about being on a reality show. You have one idea. And then when you're actually doing it, it's very different. I think that's a big lesson for almost everything. When you have a preconceived notion about what something's going to be like, you probably shouldn't have any notion. Just kind of walk in there and say, okay, it is what it is. No expectations. And let me see what happens with this.
Well, somebody that walks in each and every place she goes with no expectations and is just walking her way into our broadcast right now.
She's back.
That's the OG bad girl, everybody.
Yo, Priscilla, mama, I love you, mama. You know how I know I'm the original bad girl? Because, yo, when Judy threw the cereal at you, she used the wrong cereal, all right? I would have totally Captain Crunched her ass. You know what I'm saying? It hits harder, you know?
What do you think would be your special characteristic if you were on a casting call for Bad Girls Club?
Poochie power. That's what they would call it, poochie power. Because once I'm on the show, they'd be like, oh my God, look at her. Yo, I gotta follow everything she does. She's so beautiful. Then it would change. Instead of the bad girls, it would be the Poochie show.
Poochie, love you. Love you. Welcome back. Oh my God. She's
Eiffel Duty Wine.
We want to thank Priscilla Minnella one more time for coming onto the podcast. Thank you so much. I really hope that upon listening to this episode, you can always realize that who we are in our past is not who we are in our future. So whatever it is, that thing that you might be holding on, you might say, man, that wasn't a really great moment. Just forgive yourself and move forward because it does get better. And Priscilla is beautifully showing that in her maturity and how much she's grown. I think that that's the lesson.
Sometimes too, maybe something like that has to happen to set you up for the course of where your life wound up.
When you witness what it is you don't want to look like, you realize, oh no, never again. I'll never do that again. So kudos to her and kudos to everybody. We're all just doing the best we can at the time with what we know at the time. But the great thing is we get better.
And if you want to get better and you want to be on an episode of Judy Torres's amazing Beautiful Life podcast, JudyTorresLifeCoach@gmail.com will be more than happy to reach out and maybe we can help you find your way to a beautiful life. Do your thing, Judy.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.